Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing to talk about my insignificant self. We're all insignificant, but we gain significance by linking with the significant. Just like the spark outside of a fire loses whatever little luminosity it has. But the spark in the fire, spark insignificant, but it's doing its work of sparking, of giving a little light. So as I said yesterday, when we come in contact with Krishna, we gain our true significance. Otherwise, however big one may be in this world, and people are very much concerned with being big, but it's all insignificant. So speaking about myself, a little more autobiographical information. Even before coming to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, I decided not to get involved with females. I thought it was too much bother, more bother than it's worth. So I avoided having children, but then I ended up with thousands of children. Srila Prabhupada said, I gave up a few children in India, but now I have thousands without the bother of a wife. I'm quoting Srila Prabhupada here. And soon again I should be a child by the laws of nature. Dehino svinyata dehe komarang yovanang jaratata dehantara pratihi. And what happens after that? After going from boyhood to youth to old age to death, then again, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Again and again entering a womb, again and again getting born, again and again dying. Of course, we have the hope now. Janma karma chame devyam evangyo veti tatvataha tyaktva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sojuna. By knowing Krishna to what little extent we can, the transcendental nature of his appearance and activities, we don't get born again. We go to Krishna. We have that faith. So this birth that I had some 67 years or so ago, may be significant in as much as should be the last. I can't say it's going to be, but we're living on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Birth means I entered this world. I don't have a video of it. I don't even know if they had videos in those days. They had TV, right? But definitely no one was there to... Well, there was no TV channel covering the... Yet another birth in Amersham General Hospital. How many people have you... In England, how many people have you even heard of Amersham? One devotee was telling me recently that, oh, my son lives in Amersham, if you've ever heard of that. Yeah, I said, I heard of it. I was born there. Those come out screaming, squirming, covered in blood and other not very nice substances. It's just like a sign of what's going to come. That's the beginning. Screaming, squirming, covered in blood. You think it gets better? That's an illusion. It's all, life in this world is all nasty, dirty, ignorance. This symptom of a baby is ignorance. Shochati iti shudra. Shudra, the definition, is one who laments and cries. So a child is just like that. No discrimination, no developed intelligence. Just like an animal. Just like a shudra. I was born in ignorance. Ajnana timirandhasya. Srila Prabhupada gave the translation of that. I was born in the darkest ignorance. 67 or so years ago, I was forcibly ejected from that womb in a baby form. And it's just one of millions of births on that day, on this planet, one of millions of births. I have taken millions, billions, trillions, who knows, who can say? Billions of births every day, if we take into account all the different species of life. So, it was an insignificant birth, both in the fact that I've had unlimited births and the fact that there are so many births. Sometimes people say that, well, how can there be reincarnation? Because you should remember your previous birth. Why don't you remember? Well, I'm glad I don't remember, because if I knew all the kinds of nasty bodies I've been in and nasty things that have happened to me and nasty things that I've done to others, it would be, you'd have a nervous breakdown. People have a nervous breakdown, or they have a trauma. If something, it often happens. Not everyone who has severely distressing experiences becomes traumatized. It seems to be more in the West, where people think that one life is all in all. I asked once a disciple of mine who had been an Indian Army officer, a retired Indian Army officer. He'd also taken part in Operation Blue Star, which those of you from India may know, the storming and the destruction of the Golden Temple in Amritsar. So I asked him, you see that soldiers in the US Army or the British Army, they have the, many of them, they suffer from this PTSD, post-traumatic, anyway, something like that. Post-traumatic stress syndrome. Disorder. We say the Indians, they don't seem to have that much. He said, yeah, it's an attitude of life. And I believe that's largely because people know that this is only one life. And whatever happens to me, it happened to me. I deserved it. It was coming to me. So people get so upset, they get completely thrown out by something horrible that happens to them. But if we were to know how many horrible things have happened to us and how many horrible things we've done to others, we wouldn't be able to psychologically handle it. So that's one reason. Another reason, of course, is that we come into this world to enjoy this world, and we do so identifying with different bodies. So by the power of Maya, we strongly identify with whichever body we have. If I think that, well, in my previous life I was a sea turtle just walking on the beach. You saw a dead sea turtle being the subject of breakfast for a few dogs. So if I think that in my previous life I was a sea turtle, I might start getting attached to all my sea turtle children and my sea turtle wife and grandmother and grandfather. We need to be focused on this, on the Maya of this life. So the arrangement of Maya is such that we forget and we go on as if this life is all in all. Another significant, insignificant birth. And we give great significance to it. We may know that in Palestine, so many thousands of people have been killed. But if a mosquito bites me, that is more of an issue to me than thousands of people being killed in Palestine, because we're so self-centered, identifying the body as the self. Sea turtle died on the beach or was washed up. Is that going to be in the news? No. Why? Who cares about a sea turtle? The dogs are happy. They care. The dogs that found, I guess the crows were waiting for the dogs to finish. They were just coming around also. Vultures you don't see anymore. Cows mostly die in slaughterhouses these days, so there's no cow bodies for vultures. We used to see so many vultures in India. So many births. In one birth, I was a vulture looking happily at the cow dying, waiting for the cow to die. That was my consciousness. Human birth is very special. This birth in particular has been very special for me because after so many nasty births, or just births, every birth in this world is nasty, I got the opportunity to come to the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, and not just a bona fide spiritual master, because every bona fide spiritual master is on the level of Krishna, but such a guru, Shai Shai Mahanta Guru, Jagate Madhyayuru, Krishna Bhakti Dei Tai Tai, such a guru who is giving Krishna consciousness all over the world in various places. So to get a guru means to at last understand who I am. I'm not a sea turtle. I'm not a vulture. I'm not a human. Where am I supposed to be? I'm not supposed to be in this material existence at all. I'm not supposed to be in this material world. I'm not supposed to be here. And my spiritual master showed me the way out of this material world. He showed me the path of my eternal benefit to go to the lotus feet of Krishna. He gave me shelter. It's not just, you tell them and then, okay, you tell them and then that's it, finished. It's not like being in a school. In modern school, where you go to school and the teacher is paid to do the job and you don't care for the teacher and the teacher doesn't care for you. Or like the Ritvik idea that, well, we'll tell you, but we're not taking any responsibility for you. That you imagine that you're just going directly to Srila Prabhupada. But these spiritual masters, they give shelter. Bahujoni, Brahminath, Loinu Sharon, after many, many births, wandering in this material world, we finally got shelter. Ultimate shelter is Krishna. Sharanyam. That word is there in Bhagavatam. He's the one who we can take shelter of. Now if you're in Palestine, where will you take shelter? There's nowhere to go. If you stay inside, if there's any inside to stay inside, you're liable to be killed. If you go outside, you're liable to be killed. It's like these different hells are there, where there's the sun is burning from the top, and then you're on a copper plate, and the heat's being heated from underneath. There's nowhere to go. Simply have to suffer. So we take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna by the system that he has given. At least for those who are coming from outside the Vedic culture, the idea of the guru being as good as God, seems to be a very big claim. But the understanding is simple. The guru is as good as God because he gives the path to God, gives God. Every guru is the representative of God. He gives us the path, the means by which we can attain to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this birth, I got my real birth. Real birth doesn't mean getting born from a womb. Real birth means being initiated into Vedic knowledge by which we can attain Krishna. How do we get that? It's causeless mercy. Bhakti, the pure devotion. The definition is there. Actually, there are different definitions. Even in the Bhagavatam itself, there are somewhat differing or from different angles definitions. And different acharyas have given definitions also. But the one which Srila Rupa Goswami has quoted at the beginning of his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's given two terms, ahaituki apratihata, that the devotion should be done without any personal motive, and it should be constant. And of course, the object is Krishna. And Rupa Goswami paraphrased that in his famous verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamadhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktirutama. It's a very simple, clear definition which, even without going to theology school or making a very deep analysis or very deep study, very simple, very clear, very straightforward. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktirad hokshaje ahaitukya pratiyataya yatma suprasidati. The topmost religion for everyone is to the transcendent Lord, devotion to the transcendent Lord, which is without any personal motive and which is constant and non-stop, forever. And that will perfectly satisfy us. There's so much in one verse. A very simple, straightforward, but we didn't know. And how will we know? It's simple and it's straightforward, but unless we're told, we wouldn't know. I was raised in a Roman Catholic family. No one had any idea, neither my parents, nor the priests, nor the teachers. They didn't know this. We come close to that with the prayer of Jesus, praying to his Father in heaven. Thy will, not mine, be done. It's getting a little close, but then in pure devotion, you don't even have your own will. It's just thy will, whatever you want. Whatever you want, that's what I want, that's all. Of course, there is also one's own personal desire to serve Krishna, maybe as a blade of grass, maybe as a cow, maybe as a boy, maybe as a parent. There are so many different ways in which Krishna can be served. This word ahaituki is applicable that we are to serve Krishna without any personal motive, and it's also used as an adjective for the term kripa, ahaituki kripa, causeless mercy. Actually, that's the meaning of mercy. If you do anything to get it, it's not mercy. If you deserve something and you get it, then that's not mercy. Mercy means when you don't deserve it and still you get it. But that term, that ahaituki, is sometimes prefixed to emphasize that we didn't do anything. It's just mercy coming down. As we pray every morning, receiving mercy, raining down mercy from the ocean of mercy. That analogy is implied that the cloud of mercy, from the taking water from the ocean of mercy, it rains down everywhere. The rain may come everywhere, it may fall on the sea. So it goes from the sea to the cloud and again back to the sea, and doesn't contribute to the existence of the living beings on the land. But the rain may fall on the rocks, where it won't be absorbed. Even in the rock, if there's any opportunity, some tiny little plant may come up, or some lichen or moss or something. But if the rain falls on good soil, then that will facilitate growth of vegetation. So that analogy is given. Chanakya gives a similar analogy, that the moon shines on the house of the pious man and on the house of the chandala also. So that mercy was there. Srila Prabhupada gave mercy so widely. Some took it and some didn't. But that mercy he was offering to everyone, causeless mercy. I was very, very fortunate to have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that very special devotee. Every devotee is special. Every jiva is special. But very, very special, being Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chosen emissary, Senapati Bhakta. A devotee like a general, going out boldly, teaching, fighting against Maya, fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manobhishta, his heart's desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, I've also become special within some orbit, as can be seen from this gathering today. But any significance that can be seen in myself, it doesn't come from the number of people gathered here, but it comes from my connection to Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. And you can also think that, or if you're seeking who to follow, whose shelter as a guru to accept, it's better not to look for the how many numbers are there, but see what is the connection with the source. Numbers is not necessarily indicative of genuineness. There are so many bogus gurus who have so many followers, but they're bogus. They may even blaspheme Krishna, but still people follow them so foolishly. I pray to Srila Prabhupada, previous acharyas, and Krishna to empower me to act as a worthy representative, to take what they have given, what mercy they are giving. That is their mercy, that someone who has no prior qualification, prior disqualification is there, as is seen by our not being allowed into the Jagannath temple. Srila Prabhupada wasn't very happy with that, but in some ways I think it's good, for me at least, just to remind me what kind of disqualified background I come from. I'm not from a high-class family. I don't have any background of Vedic culture. But Krishna, his play, he can do as he likes. So he's made those who were not even considered qualified to be disciples into gurus. So I pray that I may live up to their confidence and I pray that what I have to say, which is what I have heard from Srila Prabhupada, may reach the hearts of those who come to me, and that those who come to me may recognize that what I say is the same as Srila Prabhupada said, the same as his guru said, the same as his guru said, to recognize it's the same message. It shouldn't be a mind bender. It shouldn't be something that we have to make so much adjustments in our mind to say, yes, actually it's following. It doesn't seem like it's following, but actually it is following. It should be, Srila Prabhupada used the word transparent. Srila Prabhupada used the term transparent via medium. So it should be completely obvious that it's the same thing. If you have to say, if you have to think, well, actually our guru says this, but Srila Prabhupada said something different. But anyway, if it's not transparent, there's probably a problem there. Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Jare deko tare koha Krishna upadesh, Amar agyai guru hoya taro edesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna. In this way become a guru and deliver this land. That was the main way in which Srila Prabhupada said to be a guru. That is what a guru does. He instructs as Krishna instructed. Of course, one has to follow oneself. One has to oneself follow. But that's the basic thing. How to live in this world so as to come out of this world. Do not try to enjoy this world. That is our disease of trying to enjoy this world. But we should see the whole world belongs to Jagannath. This is Jagannath Puri. So it's the spiritual world or manifested in the material jagat. Gachatiti jagat. The definition of jagat is that which is always going, always moving. Everything here is in a constant state of flux. You can never step into the same river twice because it's different. At every moment it's different. Everything here is always changing. But one principle remains the same. Many principles remain the same, but the overarching principle is that it is Jagannath's jagat. It's his world. It's for his enjoyment. Therefore, we should live in this world with the consciousness Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjita magridha svatkasya svidhanam. We're in this world, we've been given our means of sustenance in this world. We should take from this world just what we need. This is the original Vedic communist idea. Communism, the idea is you should just take what you need and put in according to your capacity. That's part of the Marxist one of the bases of the communist creed. But this is the spiritual understanding that it's Krishna's world, it's Jagannath's world, and he's given everything that we need for our sustenance. We have a right to take a little, not more than we need. If we take more than we need, that means we're taking not just for sustenance, but for sense enjoyment, then we become criminal. So just take what we need. And put in, we have to put in also. But a better understanding even than this, that's the basic understanding. At least don't be a criminal. First thing is don't be a criminal. Don't take more than you need. But then a better understanding is to be an outstanding citizen. To put in more than we take. Don't take out more than you put in. But a better understanding is to put in more than you take. To see not just, this is my portion, okay, I'll just take my portion. But to see there are others also, atmopam yena sarvatra. We should see the others are also in this world. They suffer also as I suffer. So the generous consciousness, I am nija paro veti, ganana laghu chetasam udara charitananam vasudhaiva kutumbakam. The generous outlook, the broad-minded outlook. Instead of thinking, this is mine, I, me, mine, you are on the other side, making groups, small-mindedness, to think that the whole world is our family. So the real understanding of Jagannath is that all living beings, we're related to all living beings under the Supreme Father, the Supreme Proprietor, Jagannath. So on this basis, Srila Prabhupada taught us to perform para upaka, to do good for others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manusha Janmaja Janma Shata Kari Koro Para Upaka. Those who are fortunate to take human birth in the land of Bharata should make their life meaningful, successful, and do good for others. That means be Krishna conscious and spread Krishna conscious to others. Or Bharata, if we take it in a broader sense, that means anyone who has taken birth as a human being. So you're looking at me as guru, but everyone is meant to be a guru. Guru means responsible. Guru means heavy. The opposite of guru is laghu. Ganana laghu chetasam. To think in terms of I, me and mine means very light, insubstantial. Same level as animals. But everyone is supposed to be a guru. Everyone is supposed to have weighty consciousness. That means substantial. The life, human life, it should be filled, sartak, filled with meaning, should be substantial. And take the weight, take the responsibility. Everyone has to do so. Mother is guru, father is guru. Any person who takes any responsibility in that sense, they have to be guru. Even in a material sense, if one is overseeing others, if one is in Krishna conscious, he knows that it's not just a material arrangement, but anyone I come in contact with, and especially those who come under my supervision, they should be administered to in such a way that they get Krishna consciousness. So that is why in Vedic culture, that culture of respect is there, because we look up to those who are senior, because ideally they give us Krishna, or minimally they give us at least the path of dharma. Even without clear knowledge of Krishna, they give that. The king is considered as good as God because he administers in a manner that he is seen to be the representative of God. He represents God by making an arrangement within the state that everyone is peaceful, prosperous, following their duties. So everyone is meant to be a guru. Not everyone is going to be a guru on the level of Srila Prabhupada, all the previous acharyas, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We don't have a festival like this for Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Narottam Das. Even we don't have for Srila Prabhupada such a big festival, but we do in the sense that we have many, maybe hundreds of festivals all over the world honoring Srila Prabhupada's appearance. There are so many really very, very high gurus, then we may say, why such a big festival and this is supposed to be honoring me? Well, that again is the culture, that we see Guru Devatatma. The Guru is the representative of God and of all the previous acharyas. Sarva Deva Mayo Guruhu. So, in this festival, it should be seen that it's not for me per se, but honoring all the gurus all the way up to Krishna who've made it possible for me, and of course I have so many other God brothers who are initiating, and there are so many Vaishnavas who are initiating. Yesterday we visited the ashram just in Aitota, next to the Gundicha Mandir. We visited the ashram of Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, who many of you may not have heard of. He was initiating, now his disciples are initiating. One of the lines of the Gauriya Math, and how beautiful their deities are. I hadn't been there for quite a few years. I'd practically forgotten how beautiful the deities are. So there are so many Vaishnavas who are initiated, and the disciple sees, this is my guru, and he's representing all the previous acharyas. So it's this festival, you are focusing on me, but we should also see there's the whole line of acharyas and the whole principle of guru, generation after generation. So it seems that here I'm very special, but everyone is supposed to become very special by taking the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by communicating that to others. Not everyone's going to be big guru sitting on a stage with many people listening, but you have your children, you have your neighbors, give them Krishna consciousness to the best extent you can. Everyone can and should be a guru. Everyone should take the mercy flowing down. Mercy comes down. So we should become a channel for that mercy to keep on flowing down. I said that I avoided having children, but I have so many children, because that analogy is always given. It's very similar in many ways, the relation of guru to disciple, parents to children. Children can be a great source of pleasure if they're good. Just it came in my mind, my one godbrother Gokulananda in Vancouver in Canada. He was telling me about his son. He was so happy with his son. His son's devotee is very, very happy with his son. Children can be also a great source of distress if they neglect or disrespect their parents. I was just reading a few days ago something about the culture in Bengal, and to illustrate a point of how children are supposed to look after their elderly parents, but nowadays they don't always do it. There was one story by Rabindranath Tagore, which was summarized in that discussion of children looking after their parents or not looking after. You may wonder why in holy places in India there are beggars. Well, many of them are people who didn't have children, widows who didn't have children, or they may be not looked after by their parents. Many of them are in that. Not the parents who are not looked after by their children. It's not so common, but it's increasing. So in this story, what happens is that a man, after being raised by his mother, she's widowed, and then he gets married, and then the wife says, I'm not going to look after your old mother. So he sends her off to look after herself, and he comes to some holy place, and there are beggars, and you give something to each of the beggars. That's part of going to the holy place. There's a line of old women, and one old woman calls out to him by the name she used to call him when he was a very small boy, that only she could know. It's his mother. So he goes to say to her, it comes to him, I abandoned her. She's ended up like this. So he goes, and his wife goes, don't talk to that old woman, and pulls him away, and he goes off. The distress of the mother who's abandoned, she was from a respectable background, and now she's a beggar who everyone looks down on, and no place to stay, no food to eat, just some rags to wear. But the worst pain than that is that my son has rejected me. And how much more painful it becomes when she sees him, recognizes, he recognizes her, and goes. So children can give great distress. Disciples can give great distress. Disciple means discipline. But if they take the position of disciple but act independently, disrespectful, they act against the interest, they act for their own interest against that of the Guru, lie to the Guru, and so on. It becomes distressful. Naturally, we like to associate with sadhus. We've come here this for sadhu samagamam. Tyaja durjana sangsargam bhaja sadhu samagamam. We should give up the association of rascals and associate with saintly people. So in making disciples, our attempt is to increase the sadhu samaj, the association of sadhus. Srila Prabhupada, in his translation of the verse, tadvāg-visārgo janatāga viplavaha, the last word in that verse is sādhavaha, plural of sadhus. So Srila Prabhupada translates that as purified men who are thoroughly honest. So our attempt in making disciples is to increase the society of purified men who are thoroughly honest. And I'm very fortunate to have many good disciples and some who are really gems. I'm so fortunate. I'm unfortunate that I don't, even when you all come here together, I don't have the time to individually interact with all of you. But then some gems of disciples are there who are reflecting the mercy which is coming down and helping others to come up. It's a great pleasure. Even in this nasty Kali Yuga, it's a great pleasure to be able to associate with such exalted devotees. And there are some who it seems their main business in becoming a disciple is to cause a headache. There are some like that also. It's very difficult to engage those who come with ulterior motives. That's why we want to see that before someone comes and becomes a disciple, that they should not have any other motive than to be a disciple and to be a servant of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. But as I'm told, in marriage in India, both sides will make so many promises before marriage, and then afterwards it's an open field. It's like the politicians. They make so many promises, and then somehow or other, everything they promised, they forget. They don't do it. So in marriage also, I'm told it's like that. That both sides says, yes, 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 when I marry you, I'll stop eating meat, for instance. But then they don't do it. There's so many promises on both sides. But it shouldn't be like that with gurus or disciples. But you can't tell. It's just like in the marriage. You can't tell before the character becomes revealed afterwards. So with disciples also, sometimes we used to see, it used to be quite common that devotees would be taken from India to countries like America and Australia for doing services, especially deity worship, and people would join ISKCON in Mayapur, serve very nicely for a few years, get Brahmin initiation, do deity worship very nicely for a few years, so they got recommended to go to the West. They go to the West and they go on, and as soon as they get the residency status, they're out. So they can do a drama for like 10 years. And mostly they remain devotees. But they were serving very nicely, but they had a motive. I want to go to America, or I want to go to Australia, or whatever. So some other motive is there. And going to America and then ending up as a taxi driver, it's not the worst thing. Like I say, they mostly remain devotees. But there are others who are worse, much, much worse. Not that many. But there are some who entered the society of devotees. It could be something like that Vatsasura. He joins the calves as if he's an innocent little calf, but actually his motive, he's a demon who wants to kill Krishna. Or Pralambasura enters like a devotee, one of the cowherd boys, but his motive is to cause damage and pain. So it's our duty to try to be pure devotee, to at least behave according to the standards of pure devotees. Otherwise, even subtly, if we enter with our own personal desires, then it pollutes the whole society of devotees. And we have to keep the standards up. That's another grave responsibility in every generation of devotees, to keep the standard up. I was just discussing with a godbrother of mine and then disciple had also been discussing with him how he was... He said, well, Prabhupada had a very high standard and we can't always keep to that. So one of the ways he told me he's not keeping to that is that he initiated a homosexual who's married. And homosexual means married, means they're having homosex. And he spoke to him and he said, yeah, it's very difficult to give up sex, but apart from that, he's a very good devotee. So the standard has gone down. You become a disciple to follow the discipline which takes you back to Godhead. But if you can't follow the discipline, then you're not going back to Godhead. Or if you say that, well, we don't need to follow all the rules, you can say that, but Krishna makes the rules. So it's our duty to keep up this standard, even if it's difficult. Srila Prabhupada himself said, I could have made so many disciples if I just made it a little bit more easy. But we have to keep the basic rules. Otherwise, we find in Bengal and Orissa, there are millions of devotees chanting Hare Krishna. But the vast majority of them eat fish. So they're chanting Hare Krishna, and they're initiated. They all get initiated also. There are Goswamis in Navadvip. They initiate. They themselves eat fish. Their disciples eat fish. We could also have many disciples if we say, anyway, chant Hare Krishna. And if you eat fish, well, just to make you feel better, I'll eat fish also. But then you're not going back to Godhead. So it's a duty of the acharyas to say these things and to maintain these levels, and of the disciples to follow also. If you want to introduce that there aren't four regulative principles or they're not so important, if you want to preach this in the society of devotees, you may not be a very big devotee, but you'll have your effect. You'll whisper, whisper, whisper. It's no need to have so many rules, so many rules. In this way, by not following the parampara, but still being within the society of devotees, we're subtly polluted, and gradually it can come to the gross. That's a danger in every generation, at every moment, bringing the standards down. I've initiated at least one incorrigible rascal who, in the name of being a disciple, takes the role of being a spiritual leader. We didn't know. It took some time to find him out. Exploiting women, taking people's life savings, and really making court case against devotees. And really, really nasty, nasty rascal. I guess I must have done something to have such a rotten type calling himself my disciple. So anyway, my request is, let us be disciples, let us try to the best of our ability, let us follow. Don't make a disturbance, try to put in more than you take out. Always try to be an ideal devotee. That is my request. Hare Krishna. I'll finish for now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chuna kang padiya nipatya kritva chakaku shatam etada hambravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad goranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha. Parivata tu jano yata tata va nanu makaro na vayang vichare amaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta. Bhuvi vilutama nartama niravishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
His Holiness Bhakti Vilas Swami Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.